Turn with me to Luke chapter 19, and there'll be three parts to our message. First, Luke 19 and the gospel, and that part, and then some statistics and information, and then some personal stories and testimony of our family, my wife and I, and a little bit of that, and then we'll finish. So Luke 19, and great to have a great day today. Praise the Lord. We had a beautiful day, and very blessed so many ways. Chapter 19, verse 1, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. Now we're going to speak about children tonight, and here we have a full-grown adult, but he's a little guy, but he wants to see Jesus. He's an adult. He has a fully developed mind. He's a very rich and powerful guy, but he is also little, and he wanted to see Jesus. I just want to use that part of the story to say that there are a lot of little people around us that are looking for Jesus. How about that? Amen. Come on. Okay. Is that all right? That's the message right there. There are a lot of little people that you can overlook that want to find Jesus. Sometimes they are our children. And there are other people too. Sometimes a teenager, maybe an adolescent or a young adult, and they would like to find Jesus. And so we have a great message for those folks, and that is that Jesus wants them. Verse 4, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. I remember being a young person in the church life, and people were just passing by me, and I'm wondering if they know about me or care about me. Do they recognize me? Do they know my name? And then, of course, if you've been in a big school, public school, university maybe, and you know how that is, that people pass by you, and they don't. So the psalmist said, there is no man that cares for my soul. But our message tonight, by God's grace, is that Jesus Christ, he is the only one that really cares for us. And he will stop. He will stop on his way. He's going up to Jerusalem, actually, to be crucified. He's on a mission. But along the way, he has that sensitivity. He has that care. He has that spirit. And so do we. He stopped. Let's read verse 5. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus. He knew his name. Make haste, come down, for today I must abide at your house. I think many of us who've read that story, maybe many times, we understand how much both parties, Zacchaeus in the tree, is looking, and he wants to see Jesus, and that Jesus on the ground is looking, and he wants to find him. He wants him. He is after him. That is so encouraging for a parent when you find that your child is actually seeking and looking. They might be very young. Here comes their little story part. I think this is working. From 0 age to 5 years, is that it? I'm going to put here, if you are parents, husband and wife, and you're bringing your children to church, we could put down the word work. How do you get them to church? In one word, work. Why? Diapers, bottles, strollers, car seats, blankets, coloring books, maybe, the whole thing. Pile them all in the van. You know, a lot of them. If you have three of them, all five and younger, that's a lot of work. 5-year-old, 3-year-old, 1-year-old, congratulations. Did you make it to church? Could you do it? Could you pile all in? Could you pack up? Could you get to church? Is it important? Is that part of? How about the tantrum or the anxiety crisis that happens at the drop-off point for your 3-year-old when they just go into like ballistic mode and they feel the anxiety and the fear and they start crying and yelling and screaming? Anybody here identify? Any mom and dad, have you ever had the trauma? Have your children wet his pants or his or her pants because of the trauma? And then the pickup? Okay, is it work? It is. But do we do it? Do we believe it? Are the little ones valuable to us? What should we do with them? We have to bring them. We have to keep doing it. Very good. Keep at it. Then there's the age group from 6 to 12. And this is, they follow. They will come. Promise them ice cream, large amounts of money, toys, candy. Do whatever you can. Get them in the car and bring them to church. They will come. No, I got something better. We are doing this parenting thing by spirit. Let's see, I can't really write that way vertically. Spirit, I don't have a lot of spirit, words, and example. They are following our example. Is it worth it? That they would come when they are 12. What are they learning? What is happening when they are 10, 9, 8, 7? They are learning many things. They are watching. They are listening to adults. Do you know that language and thought that goes together? The psychologists tell us, the doctors tell us, that a young child, when they are hearing words, the language, then it provokes them in their thoughts. And the thoughts are very important in children. Like, where are their thoughts taking them? What thoughts do they get? Are they processing language? Are they watching example? Are they learning that church life is part of my family life? I have my nuclear family, and then I have the church family. And if you are a single parent, the best thing you could do is to bring your children to church, as research shows. There's some material on that. What are the challenges when they're 6 to 12? I don't know. They're kind of a little bit goofy. They're fun to be with. They're little people. They're learning. They're very sweet and many times very innocent. Very much you can connect with. Oh, they're amazing. I love that age group. Isn't it precious? Man, they get to come. They talk about things on the way home. We would drive home from the church here. We would go home, and on the way there was a 25-cent ice cream sandwich at the Royal Farm or the 7-Eleven, and we would stop there just once in a while just to celebrate and eat the ice cream sandwich. And man, when they were little, you just 25 cents would put them over the top. Man, that was amazing. Dad bought us some ice cream. It was amazing. Now they're 13 years old and up to 18 years of age. They are now in their teen years. Are we going to church? Yeah, we always do. It's part of our family. It's thinking, it's talking, it's listening, it's following protocols, it's learning about things. Like you can teach your teenager about the security department, about the music department, about the finances of the church. You can talk about new people, about outreach, about elderly people, about a widow, about a teenager. You can talk to children and they are always learning. You have the Spirit of God with you, and the Spirit is important. Guys, we are not angry, tough, angry, violent people. We are spiritual people. We are sensitive. We are communicating. We are listening. We are loving. And we are leading them and guiding them. They can have a fit of rebellion that happens as a teenager, but when it comes to our church life and our family, there wasn't any discussion about it. We came to church. We led them in that way of thinking. And actually, at the bottom line, they did enjoy it. They wouldn't tell you that, of course, but they would enjoy it and benefit from it. So you have a rebellious time, maybe. You might have some difficulty. Silent time. They're not talking to you anymore. They talk to their friends and other people in the church. They might explode with communication. On the way home, dead silence. Nobody's talking because they don't want to give you that joy and that happiness that parents have when they communicate with their kids. It might be like that. Then you have from 19 to 24, young adult period of time, and that's beautiful. They might be out of the house, but it might be that they've gotten saved. Might be that they are spirit-filled. Might be that they think the same way as you do. And it might be that you have delivered them as a result of the church life from the three main problems that happen with young adults, young adolescents. I have in the statistics here the three big dangers of adolescence. You might have saved them from depression, from substance abuse, and from premature sexual activity. You may have, your children may have grown up and might be that you have prevented your children from certain problems that are very common today in our world. So here comes the last part. People who attended church as children are more likely to grow up happy. This is American Family Survey 2022. And there's a lot of material here. You can Google it if you want to read it in more detail. But I'll just read this. People who attended church as children are also more likely to grow up happy, to be forgiving, to have a sense of mission and purpose, and to volunteer. So regardless of school type, this is, you have public school and private schools. Regardless of the type of school, it's beneficial to go to religious services, both as an adolescent and as an adult. Yay, okay. The researchers, led by Tyler Vanderweel, examined a large swath of data collected over more than a decade, which tracked the development of 12,000 nurses' children into their young adulthood. The longitudinal study surveyed social, physical, mental health trends across the group, like substance abuse, anxiety, depression, community engagement, and sexual activity. The team was curious about how schooling choices and religious service attendance correlated to health outcomes. Here's what they found. And then he gives the results, and I mentioned that to you in in a brief word. It wasn't the kind of school that they went to. It was their religious involvement in church life. Those two spaces, home and church, are vital to human health and flourishing. By the way, I stumbled into this in our life. My wife and I, I'm 72 years old. She's 70. And we look back at our life. We go, how did we get here? How did this happen? How did this happen? And the answer is the church. The Spirit, the grace, the Word, friends, prayer, God. God gave the church. And Pastor Stevens, our pastor who brought us up in this way of thinking, was very diligent about it, very fervent about it. And we brought our kids, and we went to three services a week all our lives, 50 years. All our lives, and our kids with us, and so on. And I don't want any comparison. I'm not trying to say anything about comparison, because who knows how life works. I'm not saying we can figure it out. I'm not saying, but statistically, and it's for our benefit. And the little ones around us, many times they do want to see Jesus. But how will they see Jesus? They, in the story, he climbed up in a tree and Jesus met him. And I think when young people come to the church, it might be in their hearts they're looking for Jesus Christ. And he will meet them. And we will see things happen, perhaps. It doesn't mean that we have it figured out. I do not know. And there's like ups and downs, but I just want to say we had a good time at it. And by God's grace, we stayed positive. We had a tendency at times we were very low, very low, very worried, very broken, very much on our face, very much on our knees, very much concerned about the future. There were times when we just were silent in sorrow almost. We didn't wear it on our sleeve, but we just kept, like, we just kind of believed. And Justin got Barry Quirk as a family member. You know, Kyle had somebody. Bethany found somebody. Angela Delaware, maybe. And Amy, my daughter Amy. And on it goes. The story is beautiful. The body of Christ and learning to sit in a church service and be a part of it as a little person. And for people to recognize their name, know them, and for people to care for them like our great teachers do, and our great school, and our Sunday school activities, and our music program, and our athletic program. I mean, could you have any better coach than Pat Lynch and Jen Lynch? Could you have anything better than that? Could you have a better school principal than Barry Quirk? I mean, could you have a better teacher than Teresa Hoffs's? And on you can go with all Eduardo and all the names and Jen Brooks and all the precious people. Could you have a better school program? And I'm just very, very thankful. So that's what we're talking about tonight. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, let's have a prayer right now for the salvation. If you are one of those people that's looking for Jesus and you've made that effort, we had a girl here this morning who came from Arizona. She moved to Baltimore and she Google searched for a church and she came today. And maybe in a way, climbing up in a tree, looking, wanting to find Jesus. And if you are a person, you don't know him, but you want to know him. He's passing by. He's coming your way. And he's calling up to your name. And he says, come on down. We're going to eat together. Your life is going to get straightened out. I'm going to save you. I'm going to fill you with my Spirit. I'm going to speak to your heart. I'm going to help you in your life. I'm going to change your life. I am real. I am the Christ, the Savior of the world. Come to him tonight in Jesus' name, as you are. Just come to Jesus as you are, in Jesus' name. Amen.